Welcome to the Banking Reinvented podcast. Every week, we discuss how banks can harness the power of AI to drive remarkable growth. You're listening to Tim Rutten, and I'll be joined by senior executive changemakers from around the globe, unpacking what works and what doesn't. Ready to unlock growth mode together? Let's get started. All right, welcome back to Banking Reinvented, the podcast for changemakers in banking. And our guest today is David Mairelis. He has nearly two decades of international experience leading digital transformation at Banco Santander and ING, launching and scaling Raisin in Spain, building a wealth management startup, and even co-founded TNEX, which is Vietnam's first digital-only bank. David is recognized as a top 50 global fintech influencer and has blended banking with gaming, e-commerce, and social media to boost financial inclusion, shaping how banking integrates into our everyday lives. David, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Tim.
It's quite an introduction, no?
It is. It's actually.
Yeah, it's something new we're trying as a team, just to get people properly into the conversation. But first of all, thanks so much for being here in Bali with us.
Yeah.
You just had a keynote here on stage.
Yeah.
How did that go?
I went really well. I think, you know, it's good to say out loud what many of us, including, you know, I consider myself as a banker, the struggles, you know, the concerns, the challenge, start to go back to first principles, you know, like what our customers want. You know, I think, you know, in the last two decades and since the iPhone has made everything accessible in one click away, I think banks have realized that, you know, it's not more about selling, but more about how we can help customers to achieve what they want in their daily lives. You know, I was telling, you know, in the keynote that customers, they don't wake up and say, you know, I want to open a fixed term deposit.
No.
No. Surprisingly, you know, they don't want to, you know, pay for the minimum balance on the credit card. You know, they're looking for solutions. You know, I want to buy a new motorbike, or I need to save money for the next iPhone that is coming up, and how banks, you know, can help me to achieve all those goals or those challenges I have on a daily basis. You know, one of the things I keep saying bankers is talk to your customers. You know, I remember when we launched TNEX and I was visiting different universities, and one of the things that customers they were saying all the time is like, I'm really bad at managing money. You know, these were 20 years, you know, old people. And they're like, yeah, I have my money. My parents send me money. I start spending. And then the last 3-4 days of the month, I ran out of money. And then I take and eat instant noodles. That's my food for the last 3-4 days, you know. So it's about, you know, going back, you know, what are the concerns, you know, what are the things, you know, the problems customers are having on a daily basis, and the huge impact those banking products can help them to achieve, you know, to be better at saving money, to be able to have access to financial services, you know, lending, insurance, you know, wealth management solution, not for the privilege, but for the mass market, where, especially in this part of the world, banking is not for granted, as we take it in, you know, in Europe or the US, everyone has access to banking services. Unfortunately, here in Asia, there's still, you know, more than 200 million customers without proper banking services or only basic banking services. So they may have a bank account, but they may not have savings. They may not have access to formal lending. They may have no access to investment products. So how, you know, with this new device that, you know, this year it's making, you know, its 18th birthday, the iPhone, and, you know, revolutionize, you know, everything, how we can make banking, you know, simpler, easier, real time. And if we can put a little bit of fun there, we'll be, you know, will be great.
Yeah. I like what you said in the beginning. You said, hey, first principles thinking.
Yep.
What are we really solving? What, basically, the jobs to be done framework,
yep.
Of course. On top of that, you also see now the desire to do something with AI.
Yep.
To bring it to the table because, you know, in a way it's expected.
Yep.
Because the board is demanding for it. There's apparently incredible efficiency gains. You can do revenue growth. There's hype all over
yep.
In many ways.
How do you currently see that come to life in the region?
I think AI will solve one of the biggest problems. It's the bridge between what banks are offering and what customers are expecting.
Okay, so you think it's
yeah, I
the
think
glue between.
Yes, I think you know, like when we used to search on Google, you know, we search for, you know, what do I want it to do instead of what's my problem. Now, how the paradigm have changed when I open, you know, Gemini, you know, ChatGPT, I tell them this is my problem and they will help me to find the solution instead of I want to go to this place. It's like, no, prepare me a plan. I'm going to go to Bali for 4 days, you know, with my family. You know, I wanted to do things with the kids. I wanted to do some cultural. I wanted to relax and chill a little bit. And they will sort out, okay, you have to be 1 day here, 2 days there, 1 day in the other part. Instead of me going to Google or Google Maps, open the map, going through one side, okay, let me see the what are the ratings, you know, is this restaurant good, is not, you know, this AI thing will change in the way that banking products will keep going down. We're going to keep pushing down the banking infrastructure, the banking complexity, and making more human, more natural to say, okay, can I go out tonight? Can I afford, you know, to take to a fancy dinner to my wife? Can we go for a nice, you know, winter holidays this year? These are the things, you know, the AI can, instead of I'm going to go to my bank, I'm going to see my available balance or my ledger balance, you know, and I'm going to check, okay, what are the invoices coming, you know, what are the things I need to pay? What are the bills? What am I expecting in the next 2 months? And then doing the exercise manually of, okay, can I afford? I think I can. Maybe, and then you're gonna go to the Excel and then start running some numbers. What if the bank, you know, I ask, you know, based on my last few months' performance, you know, can I go, you know, to Singapore this winter? Can I spend the weekend away in a beach? So these are the things that, you know, more and more AI will make natural, more natural for people to engage with, and I think it's has been the great challenge, you know, since the branch era where you used to go to the branch, to go to the branch manager. It's like, hey, Jean, how are you doing? You know, how's your wife? You know, the kids are good. They knew everything, right? They knew where you work, you know, and they were, you know, consuming all the information and they were like, I think you know about this product, and they will cross out those products. And I think, you know, with AI, you know, these things will happen in a very invisible way where, okay, I'm going to start putting aside some money for your winter holidays so you can have the money straight away. Just say, okay. So these things are kind of what the power of AI, because customers, they won't need anymore to go through and understand and, you know, decompose, you know, all this fragmentation between products and, you know, planning and customer experience. It's like, no, this is my problem. Can I buy? Is it possible for me to go this place? Is it possible for me, you know, to afford for the new iPhone Air to be available in the next few weeks? So these are the things, you know, like it's going to be very excited for the banks because, you know, we're going to be changing the way we engage with our customers.
Now, when we just prepared before the conversation said, what is top of mind to me is growth and engagement.
Yep.
I think there this topic 100% hits home, right? Because everything you're sharing right now is how do you service the long tail without the human manual, let's say, effort.
Yep.
Either meeting an individual in the branch, which doesn't happen that often anymore,
really?
At least not at the scale that you can really move the needle, cross and upsell, build relationships.
Yep.
With AI in the mix, in our view, that would be in the revenue growth domain. Like, what are the use cases there?
Yep.
You can actually start building the segment of one.
Yes.
Because you know their behavior, you know their transactions, you've got a benchmark even with the rest of the cohort that they, you know, connect with. Mm-hmm. As in, this is a 21-year-old student living in XYZ and has these types of ambitions. That is the very exciting part of the AI opportunity.
Yes. I think, you know, like I work with many banks, and one of the things that they focus right now is like, I want to have this data onboarding. I want to onboard new customers, you know. So I work with a lot of banks in the region, and one of the main challenges I want to make, you know, data onboarding a process to be, because, you know, they were relying still on branches for many of them. And we, you know, we work on, you know, making this process very smooth, whatever. But one of the things that they said is, now it's done. Like, no, this is the beginning. You know, like I was saying that in the keynote, is like, when customers, they finish the onboarding, what's next? How are we going to guide them through what are the products available and what team needs will be different than my needs or my father needs or, you know, my sister needs. So, you know, how, you know, banks with all this data that we've been collecting to customers during this very, let's say, painful process, there is the KYC process that you have to go through and basically give all the information to banks. How are we going to be kind of guiding customers? I think one of the examples I use is when you use Netflix for the first time, Netflix is going to give you a bunch of titles and TV shows and movies. And they ask you, which one do you like? Because based on that selection, they can start, okay, if you like, I don't know, the Fantastic Four, and then, you know, you like a Superman, you may be into superheroes. But if you like the, you know, romantic comedies, you know, I may gonna be suggesting other things. And this is the first part when, you know, many banks don't know anything, but they know my age, you know, they know my gender, they know where do I live. So there is a lot of information or data that can be inferred to during this process. And it's like, okay, now that you know, allow me to be part of this bank, how I can start, you know, knowing what product, because, you know, the product I may need for this bank now will be different than in 5 years' time. Nubank, for example, the first 30 days after customers they onboard, they have an average of 4.3 products. It's an amazing opportunity. It's, you know, in the last, you know, 4 years, you know, they have tripled the number of products that they cross-sell. So after 30 days, you may end up with a credit card, a checking account, a savings, and maybe an insurance or a wealth product. So how other banks can replicate that model? I think it's one of the greatest superpower of digital banks is how easy they make for them to open a new product that you can do three taps, you know, your savings there.
So it's very much like growth hacking in e-commerce, right?
Yes.
But then brought to banking and executed very well, whether that's Nubank or Revolut or any of those types of players. What are the key ingredients that they have in place that allow them to execute this and hence also have the results?
I think they are very data-driven. And I think, you know, like I've been there. I know how complicated, you know, how silo is the data, how, you know, the lack of, you know, real-time data, you know, to make real-time decisioning. But that changed, you know, with the new technology available, you know, like you can, you know, propagate all that data into a dump. And then, you know, that big, you know, AI system can start giving you insights. And, you know, it's not about, you know, like you're going to be an ultra Iron Man. You know, let's start walking, you know, before we start running. You know, let's do very small use cases. You know, it's a never-ending process. You know, one of the things I realized is like, okay, you wanted to do something and then you have more data and then you're refining your models. And then based on the, you know, how good or bad, you know, these models are working, you know, suddenly you say, okay, no, I'm going to go back. Okay, I'm going to tweak this thing. I'm going to try again. So it's about, you know, keep learning and keep, and kind of being open to, you know, that it's going to be a very interesting journey where you're going to learn a lot and you're going to start making your cases, your processes, you know, more complex as you grow, you know, your talent in-house, you know, you understand, you know, how these powerful tools, you know, like it's like Excel, right? You know, you work with Excel and it's like, okay, it's super good. And then, you know, somebody, you know, start running, you know, some macros. He's like, what? So this is the same with AI, you know. You know, many people, we start, you know, doing prompts, you know, help me doing things, you know, And then you see people, you know, like posting videos. I created my, you know, agent and it's now booking me, you know, for the dinner and it's, you know, booking me for the cup. So, you know, the technology is there. And it's about, you know, like creating this curiosity for banks and for employees, you know, to start, you know, giving kind of a safe space, you know, about what are the opportunities, you know, how we can serve better our customers.
Yeah. If I build on top of that, then the main reaction we currently see in the field and the boardrooms where we have conversations, everyone is curious.
Yes.
To understand, hey, how do we embrace the AI opportunity? What needs to hold true?
Yep.
And of course, the story is always similar. Make sure you have a platform where all the data is, you know, coming together. Then you can unlock basically working with machine learning and AI. Then agentic AI is actually allowing you to start bringing things together, power your channels, your applications, what have you. But if you then do the reality check, we're a very conservative industry.
Yep.
We're heavily regulated, if not the most regulated industry, for good reason. Mm-hmm. So I was in another episode with a CEO of a wealth manager, and basically he said, probably the probability that this industry is the first one to move is close to zero. Right? I had to give it to him. Yeah, of course, it is close to zero. Yeah. But at the same time, you can also not just sit back and wait because others will go first.
Yes.
And they will get an exponential competitive advantage. If they do it well and they get the synergy, they get the benefit of the technology and the speed it will bring to you, both on growing top line and becoming more efficient as an operation. So just wondering how you see that in the region that you operate in, which is mostly Asian, if I'm not mistaken. Is there any hesitation or are banks leaning in? Are they ready to go? What's the regulator view?
The regulators, it's waiting. Here, it's more wait and see. You know, they don't want to kill innovation before it starts. But in the other hand, you know, we see that, you know, very conservative in the way that banks wanted to do. And the funny thing is, you know, I keep hearing this, you know, like it's the most regulated. Yes, but let's use anonymized data. I don't need that you is the customers and trying to build that use case. You know, I don't care if you're Tim or Scott or whoever you are. You know, I just want just someone that, you know, it's helping my problems, you know, to achieve what they want. And for me, it's about, you know, like how we can start land and expand. You know, like I have seen, you know, banks, you know, using data and it's spray and pray, to be honest. You know, like it's, you know, general binaries, you know, like, you know, you were talking about the capabilities of Backbase, you know, to optimize and to have the, you know, the truly segment of one that we all have dream of for many, many years.
Utopian view, right?
Yes.
Where hopefully we end up.
And sadly, I think, you know, we all agree that, you know, that utopian view, it's more closer to reality than it used to be 20 years ago.
Totally.
And I think, you know, let's go for the, you know, the smallest use case. You know, let's use debit card transaction. It's in one single, you know, piece of, you know, database. Let's use, where do they go? You know, how often, you know, what are the brands that they use? You know, what are the places that they visit? What are the regularity of those payments, you know, like, and how much do they spend? For me, it's about, you know, like, okay, let's start here, yep. Okay? Let's see how it goes. Let's see how we can expand. You know, you don't need to use PII data, you know, to build your new models. It's about, you know, like, what are you trying to achieve?
I like it because it reminds me of a podcast we did a year ago, even 1.5 years already, with Chris Chan, our head of AI in the AI center in Vietnam that we've been building out.
Okay.
And he basically said, hey, Tim, this whole AI thing, it's actually nothing new. We've been doing this for decades. Yeah. Machine learning has been in place since forever in AML, KYC, IDV. So that it's actually not that new.
No,
what is now new is that the tooling is becoming democratized. It's getting more traction. There's more community around. And really absorbing it and turning it into something very meaningful for the business.
Yes.
Fast forward to today, the hype is very real. And at the same time, the newness of it is, it's not that new anymore, is it? Already right now?
Yep.
I think people are getting very much tuned in to how they can bring it to life.
Yep.
And that brings me to the second point. You mentioned use cases.
Yep.
This is one example, let's say with the direct debits. Mm-hmm. Could you maybe for the audience unpack a little bit, what are the buckets of use cases that you see where you have most dialogue on, or you see most traction on currently in the market? For AI, to apply AI in practice, really deploy it to production.
So, I think, that if you look at, any bank organization, we can came up with 100 use cases. I always said, it's not about what do we want. It's what, what's the vision for the bank? I think one of the honest question I always ask banks is, what are you good at? You cannot be good at everything, right? What is your edge? What is the thing that you think, you're doing a better? And then double down with, with the use cases. Because if you want to do, private banking, a commercial banking, an SME, and then we ended up into the same mess, but in real time. So it's a real time mess that we're going to end up with. And then I remember, traditional banks, complaining about, the regulation, right? Because, we're super regulated, And then, I was looking at, okay, what are your target segment? It's retail, SME, commercial, private banking, and then look at the product, and they offering all the products. So basically you're just ticking on every single box. While right now, we need to think, okay, what are the biggest opportunity for my bank, for my customer base? Many banks, they said, I wanted to go into the wealth. It's like, yeah, great. But how many customers, are going to be using your product? It's not about what you want. It's about what your customers are doing with the bank, and be honest enough, to take a decision. It's not about, okay, I want to do this or I want to do that. Or yes, all of us, we wanted to build the new bank, and we see the efficiencies that, this technology. And I think, there is a very clear, after 10 years, digital banks are way more efficient than traditional banks, while traditional banks, per employee can, serve between 500 to 1,000 customers. We see the likes of Revolut, Nubank, where, they go, to 10,000, 15,000 a customer per employee. So we see the efficiencies of scale of this one, not only because, I think the profound change of AI, it's not only, as you were mentioning this morning, it's not on the front, on the digital channels, but it's going all the way down to the mainframe. So, it's going to be the credit risk decisioning. It's going to be the operational part where, most of the banks, the middle and the back office has been kind of the Achilles heel, for many banks. If you wanted to, grow, you have to, have an army of people, checking, verifying, credit risk models, verifying, reviewing documentation. How with AI, OCR technology, machine learning, all this technology that been here, the funny thing is now it's available for everyone. So not only for the techies, you can build now an app with lovable, by coding. These are kind of the big change coming because, now operation analyst or a branch manager or, someone from the credit team, they can start using AI for how I can make my process better.
Yeah, it's complete. How do you say this? You're completely rewriting the operating model of any given bank if you go all the way.
Yes.
Because the risky part is if you just apply AI and let's say a set of tools in certain domains to solve a certain specific use case, you'll end up with a bunch of tools, which by the way, is just your new legacy.
Yeah.
Right, so in a way, the rethinking pattern is, if you would start a bank from scratch today, mm-hmm. what would the stack look like?
Very different than the stack I used, five years ago when we co-founded the Tinex. It was, using a new core banking system. We're using AWS, for the cloud. We were the first one, and it was a very different, but at the end, we had the same challenge, we built a bank, we were 160 employees, serving 1.5 million customers. It was good, but it's still, a third of our staff were operations, people dealing with documentation, checking process flows, automation, all these things that suddenly, will be out of the question, you can do, this agent will do A, and then they will pass to the next agent that will do, review verification, and then they will cross check, is this customer saying that, you know, that they wanted to do this, you know, what is the transactional data telling me about this? Is, you know, what is the propensity for this customer, you know, to be accurate or not? So the tech stack will be very, very different. And I think in the future, we may see an AI-driven bank that, you know, could be, you know, like 100 million customers, you know.
Yeah, almost like a 24/7 AI-driven autonomous bank.
Yes.
It's a bit sci-fi. But if you think about the patterns that are now coming to life and how the technology comes together, so both machine learning, Gen AI, agentic, how that comes together as a potential ecosystem that can just use capabilities to, you know, drive operations actually across the board, there will be a moment where it's going to give you an incredible competitive advantage when applied well with all the guardrails and you know, security and compliance around it. If you would have to take a guess, is this 1 year out, 3 years, 5 years?
Probably will be within the next, you know, 3-5 years. I think, you know, like right now we're in the 2000s, you know, it's like everyone is running to build their website.
Yeah.
Everyone is running to build their agents. And I think, you know, the change is so profound that it's going to take everything. You know, you cannot, you know, say, I'm going to use this, you know, let's look at, you know, what are the product portfolio of bank, you know, and which ones are very manual, you know, lending, you know, the biggest, you know, revenue from banks, wealth management solution, you know, still, you know, we can give, you know, personalized bespoke advice to customers, you know, that they wanted to invest in the future, you know, make them more loyal, you know, keep the engagement. I think, you know, with AI that suddenly, you know, you may trust an agent to make a payment on your behalf, you know, in Europe, we have been trusting, you know, direct debits, you know, to pay for the bills, you know, when you say that to in Asia, it's like, no, I want to see how much I gonna pay and then I will pay. You know, for us, it's a given, right? You know, do you sign up for the direct debit? And every month, you know, it could be 200 or could be, you know, 300 euros for the electricity bill. But, you know, you trust kind of the system, it's gonna work with, you know, new models, you know, like we're changing the way we're going to be interacting with them and also the banks, you know, how the tech stack, you know, what are the bank will be organized by.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like this product, you know, layer, and then, you know, you're going to have channels and then you're going to have some cross departments, you know. How, if you have a bunch, you know, like, and I was remembering, you know, the CEO of Google is like, you know, like, you know, more than 50% of our code, you know, it's been generated by AI. And then our, you know, engineers are no longer, you know, kind of writing the code. They're reviewing the code.
Supervising.
Yeah, making sure that the code that they have, you know, working with, it's what they want. It's not about, you know, making the if and else and then, you know, change the semicolon and everything, you know, that a machine will do it much better than us. The question is the machine understanding what we wanted to do? And for me, you know, that's kind of the next generation, and it will take, you know, time, you know, to kind of consolidate and I'm making sure like, okay, now it's, you know, very use case. And, you know, we are still looking for the kind of the iPhone, how, you know, we kind
the
of
new form factor.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because that factor has to change. Right now, we have to go to the, you know, the mobile, and then, you know, you're gonna click on the Gemini, the Grok, you know, the Claude, and then you're gonna, you know, you can use your voice. But, you know, still it's a barrier. You have to take another device. It's not a natural thing. So it will be interesting how that interaction will become in the next few years.
It reminds me a bit of the BOP, which was the first web application on mobile devices,
okay,
which was just not functional.
Okay.
So basically bringing the web technology into a mobile device, although the mobile device was just not web ready. So it was very clunky, very slow, very inconvenient. And then the new form factor came, which was clearly the iPhone and Android and everything that followed. I think we're now in between that moment for what's the next form factor.
Yeah.
And yeah, honestly, if I look at my own usage of the tooling that is there, it's becoming uncomfortable to type.
Yes.
Why am I typing this? It makes no sense. Or why am I going through a very uncomfortable menu that's just not the best practice?
Yeah.
There's going to be a tipping point. And there's going to be a new form factor that completely changes the game. I'm there for it. I'm excited.
Yeah. I think we are all are, you know, like, you know, nowadays our phone, they have, you know, more than 20, 30 applications, you know, and you have to go through. And where I put it in a folder. It's in my second screen and third screen. It's on my, you know, quick actions. So, you know, once that, you know, change happen and everything, it's not within an app. It's, you know, it's there. It's, you know, someone is taking care of that thing for me. You know, I just wanted to do this. You know, I just don't want to go to Google Maps and say, you know, I want to go to the hotel. You know, they know that I'm going to the hotel and they're going to say, you know, if you leave in the next 5 minutes, you can take the bus. Or if you take, you want to take an Uber, you know, you can, you know, we can order here.
Even more so, like looking at the weather, the time, the expectation, and the fact that the meeting is important you need to go to, I booked you a cab. It's on its way. That's 100% where we're going. I think, funnily enough, if you think about how agentic AI, if you explain the technology, you basically say that you've got all the capabilities that do certain actions.
Yep.
They're deterministic.
Yes.
In input, output is stable. With agentic AI, you have an intelligence layer on top that taps into those capabilities to make something happen. Mm-hmm. I think it's the same thing with having a conversational UI. Mm-hmm. There's an intelligence layer on top of all these apps and all these ecosystems that are there, where it makes no sense for you anymore to go to Google Maps or any Maps application.
Yeah.
Or to go to your banking app.
Exactly.
That's the real kicker. Yeah. Why would I go to my banking app, which I have four or five of, with my investments, with my savings, with my direct data year banking and what have you, versus I have this probably very intelligent conversational experience that taps into all of it, that I can give orders, that I can do reviews with, that holds me accountable, that's guardrails, I would assume. Yeah.
I think, you know, like when we move away from branches, you know, like most of the banks, they just switch, you know, the monitor, and then customers started to realize how complex is banking, you know, like how many things, and the process is very illogical for a natural point of view. You're like, you know, I don't want to, you know, ask for a loan, an unsecured loan or a fixed term deposit, you know.
That's not how the customers think.
No, maybe. Customers, you know, think on a daily basis, I want to save for my next iPhone, or, you know, I need to buy a new car. These are the things, you know, these are the problems. And as we went from, okay, it's a big monitor, I can go through very clunky, you know, online banking. And then suddenly iPhone came, and then we needed to put it in a very, you know, 5 inches, you know, screen. And then became more complicated again, because, you know,
longer.
Yeah. So you have to scroll, and then you don't know what's the menu, what is this, you know, how I need to apply for a product that customers don't think about it. You know, like, you know, digital banks are doing good at being more contextual, you know, like I'm looking at my savings and then, okay, maybe I wanted to open a new savings, or I'm looking at my transactional data. It's like, okay, I wanted to split this payment and I'm going to split into 3, 6, or 12 months. So now with AI, you know, and these models, you know, like this conversation will happen more naturally in a way that, you know, like we'll tell them, this is my problem, and they will orchestrate the solution on all that behind, because, you know, like with agentic AI, you know, like all the technology stays, you know, way below.
It's transparent. It's invisible. Yeah. It's not inside out, right?
Yeah.
We talked about this already for more than a decade that typically you see this experience as being inside out. Like, you push products to the customer, you push your process to the customer with the naming that actually no customer wakes up with. Okay. I think the challenger banks have shown us what happens when you go customer first, when you have great experiences that are actually in the job to be done language of that customer.
Yep.
It's still banking, and it's still,
yes,
let's say, the current form factor.
Yes.
I think right now it's almost could feel like the final push.
Yep.
To be completely outside in, and indeed be driven by what is the objective of the individual that's trying to get something done. And I would also say that the cognitive load by just talking to, let's say, the device to do certain things for you with intelligence, that cognitive load is very low. So I think the experience is going to probably get 10x better.
Yeah, I mean, like we are seeing, especially in this part of the world, right, where TikTok, you know, launched, you know, TikTok Shop, suddenly, you know, like they're selling billions on GMV. Why? Because, you know, customers, they don't, you know, I don't want to see a video where, you know, someone is telling me, you know, what is this product? And then I'm going to go to Shopee or going to go to Lazada. And then I'm going to check and going to search the product and going to...
It's a broken journey.
Yeah, it's a broken. You have, you know, multiple apps. You know, what if I can buy instantly from here? You know, would it be crazy to think that, you know, like social media apps like TikTok will going to have a wallet and therefore, you know, like we can pay straight away? Like, yeah, check. You know, like no one thought that Starbucks, you know, will be one of, you know, a top depositors bank in the US because of a loyalty program, you know, like just by making sure that the payments is not broken. And, you know, we're rewarding customers because one of the things that, you know, what you're going to ask all the customers everywhere is, I've been working with this bank. I've been putting all my money for the last 20, 15 years, and there is no loyalty. You know, there is no sense of the bank is giving me something back.
Yeah.
So it's still asking me, can you fill out your address?
Again.
Can you put your date of birth? And like, seriously, come on. I mean, like, you know me much better than this. So we need to step up. And these are kind of the capabilities that the bank will become smarter and less bank and more invisible. And as we go through, you know, banking products will be less obvious. Like, I don't want a fixed term deposit, or I don't want to see the ledger balance. I just want to know, you know, how much money I have. And I wanted to start saving because, you know, my holidays, and I need, you know, some money to repair, you know, the roof. These are the real problems and how banks, you know, are starting to be more, you know, first principle orientated and not just talking, but just demonstrating to customers that, you know, a banking product are a little bit less complex than they currently are.
Exactly. Final thought.
Yep.
I think we can, you and I can talk forever.
Yes.
Maybe we should do another episode soon. What is the one thing you would give to the audience that they can start implementing tomorrow? A key learning, maybe something that you've learned over the past few decades, building banks and advising banks. What's the number one thing that you feel, hey, that needs to hold true? Call it a key principle, call it a key learning.
I think there is a lot of cultural constraints to do things. I keep hearing, let me be frank, a lot of barriers, a lot of things that they said it's impossible, it's complicated, you know, like just start, you know. Just do, you know, like show the value because, you know, like one of the things, you know, like I keep advising banks is like focusing on delivering value. This is not about launching a new product. This is not about, you know, like launching a new campaign. This is about bringing bank, you know, to the P&L. Is this project that going to be assigning 20 people, 30 people, 50 people for the next 3 months is the best way to use my resources? Because, you know, at the end, we all know, you know, it's all about money, time, and resources. So how we, with these three things, you know, we can do much more with less resources and deliver more value. Because that's kind of be the thing that every bank is trying to do. And for me, is don't think about excuses. Just start doing. And you know, most of the cases is like, you know, like, you know, agentic AI model where we're going to have, you know, a middleman. Start just one thing. One thing is, you know, like hurting you, that it's not allowing this bank to grow as they want, or they are not giving the target that, you know, they're achieving to get. And then start there. You know, how AI, and it's not about starting with the technology, it's starting what's the problem. And then in technology, you know, like nowadays, you know, technology is available, you know, like that's not a problem. It's the biggest, you know, kind of concern or the biggest barrier for banks is what are you trying to achieve and how you demonstrate the value? Because at the end of the day, you know, I was talking with an executive, at the end of the day, you're going to go to the board and you're going to say, you know, I have done this digital transformation or I have deployed this. But then the question should be is, okay, what's the revenue?
Yeah.
You know, how this, you know, has helped me on the P&L. You know, it's helping me to increase cash balance. It's helping me, you know, because at the end, you know, we have to break down the barrier between technology and business and making sure that everything we do is measured and it's towards delivering value for the bank. And then we start, you know, having this, is tech a call center or is tech an enabler of the future? Because more and more tech is becoming, you know, more kind of ominous in every organization. Everything is going to be tech. You know, you see that every single department will have some tech implication.
It's like electricity.
Yeah, so you're not going to say, okay, yeah, my electricity is black or my electricity is yellow, right? How are we going to make banks, you know, to start thinking, okay, let's start. Okay, I wanted to cross-sell credit card. Okay, let's start from there. You know, what is the process? You know, what are the internal processes? What's the framework? What are the regulation? You know, what are the limitations we have internally? You know, what is preventing us to go from A to B with this technology?
Yeah. Keep it small, get started, show the value.
Exactly.
There we go. David, it's been a pleasure having you in the show.
Thank you.
I would love to have you once more, if not many times over, because it was a very nice free-flowing conversation. We're going to wrap up for today, so thanks for being here and sharing your insights. Yeah. And for everyone listening in, you can find David Marvelis on LinkedIn, and he does very nice content. So I would suggest you follow him and see what he's all about or what he's sharing on the channels. Thanks, David.
Thank you, team.
See you next week, everyone.
See you.
Thanks for listening to Banking Reinvented, a podcast by Backbase. Make sure to follow us on LinkedIn, where we'll be sharing key insights about our journey towards modernizing banking.